Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sanatan Dharma Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 16th chapter, verse number 22. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over it to Tiffany Mataji for a brief introduction. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Grace Sanatan Dharma Prabhuji is a brahmachari from ISKCON Pune. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and has been practicing Krishna consciousness for more than 12 years. Prabhuji has studied BTech from NIT Trichy, and he has worked as a senior manager in Tata Motors in Pune. His current services include area management and project development heads at areas around Pune. He is a counselor, youth and corporate preacher, congregation preacher, secretary at Voice Organization. He is also a remote mentor for the new Vedic Cultural Center at the Pune Temple. Prabhuji knows many different languages, such as English, Hindi, Tamil, Malayalam, Bengali, Marathi, Telugu, and Japanese. He has degrees in Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, IDC, and teacher training courses. And I also humbly request, dear devotees, to please turn on your videos for the class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Today is the day I've really been needing all of your support. I'm not keeping little well. But if you all turn on your videos, I'll feel supported. So I really need you all. If you want my energy to come out, I need your videos. So this is a humble plea again. If maximum devotees can turn on the videos, it'll be really nice. Thank you. Let's start with prayers. Om Ajnanatim Randhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschata Deshatarine Vanchya Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Vandayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Mishwaram Paramananda Madhavam. Hare Krishna. Once again, a very warm welcome to all the devotees who have come for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'd like to present to all of you a drawing of where exactly we are. Disable annotation for others. Alright. So this is our Brahmanda. Alright. This is our Brahmanda. And right in the middle of the Brahmanda, we have the Bhumandala, yes? And the Bhumandala is the earth, which is referred in the Shastras. It's something like this. It's like a plate. Okay, there's a slight clearance out here. Small clearance. Oh. You can all get that. I'm able to draw here. Yes, so this is the plate, which is exactly the center. And there's a slight clearance over here. Okay. That's how the earth had fallen into the Garbhodak ocean. And Varahadev was required to lift the earth because of the clearance there. Okay, here is a parvat called Meru Parvat, which you all have heard. Meru. And exactly in the same line, we have the pole star. Here we have all the planets orbiting. Navagrahas, we call them the nine planets. They all orbit different ways. Alright. And the Dhruva is a planet who controls. It's from Dhruva where all the planetary systems are controlled. They keep orbiting around this particular axis. All right. So above this lokas, so this is a swarga lok. This is the bhur lok. So the sun planet comes in the bhur lok. This is called bhu lok. Om bhu bhuvasvah. So the Gayatri mantra starts. Tat savitur varenyam. That is where the sun, Savitu, who is sun, who falls and enlightens these three lokas, Bhu, Bhuva and Swaha. Swaha means Swarga. Bhuva is the planet where the sun exists and Bhu is our earth planet. So this is how the picture roughly looks like. I'm not making it to scale, but why am I doing this? You'd all realize this. And with the sufficient gap, here is the place called Shweta Dweep. It's an island of 1 lakh square miles, which is inhabited by Shri Rakshai Vishnu. And above this are Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, Saptilok. So here is where the universal stem, this is how it is, and this is the lotus of the stem, where Brahma is situated. That lotus is the Saptilok. This is the leaf of that lotus. And actually this lotus spreads throughout the entire universe, right? And here is a portion which is called as Brahma Loka. Here is the place where Jai Vijay was situated. They were cursed by four Kumaras. This is the place where Durvasa Muni goes to meet the Lord in 1 year. And so that is this particular place we hear of. And even Hiranyakashipu goes to this place to search for Vishnu. And he couldn't see Vishnu, so he declares that Vishnu is dead. I am the new god. That's how it happens. Alright. So where are the hellish planets? The hellish planets are inside this. Okay. Atala, Vithala, Tala, Atala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala. And the 28 types of hell are exactly below. Over here. The structure, why I'm giving this information is it will help you to visualize the entire section ahead. That's why. This is supported by 8 elephants called Diggaj. Dig means directions and Gaja means elephant. So there are 8 elephants supporting this plate. 1, 2, 3. I'm not drawing elephants, I'm just drawing symbol. 4, 5. Drawing elephant will take a lot of time. And 3 of them are behind. They're hidden behind. 1, 2, 3. The behind ones. So 8 elephants. 8 diggajas. They are supported by Shesha. That's why we say Shesha is supporting the whole universe. Because he is holding the diggaj. And the Shesha, Ananta Shesh, he is supported by Kurma. That's why Kurma is holding the entire universe. And even when we do Bhumi Pujan and the various, you want to lay the cornerstone, you first keep the deity of Kurmadev inside. And it was Kurmadev is the first deity which was worshipped by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he was hardly 6-7 years old, his father had given him a deity of Kurmadev to worship. So that is Kurma, who's there, who's holding the entire universe. Okay, so now what are we focusing upon? There are 7 islands in this Jambudvipa. There's an island. Okay, and the island is having the same size of its dimension. There's a corresponding water body or liquid, we can say liquid. There's another island, then there's a liquid body. Each time the dimensions, they double, they keep doubling up. And these 7 islands were actually created by Priyavrat Maharaj with the rim of his chariot. This is what we've read in the beginning of the 5th canto, right? So he creates those 7 islands. So that is called Saptadvipa. Many times people misunderstand Saptadvipa to be the continents like Asia, Europe, Australia, North America, South America, Africa, Antarctica. But that's not so. Whenever the Saptamahadvipa is referred in the scriptures, it refers to these 7 islands. And yes, there are different water bodies. There is salt water, which is called Lavana Sagar. There is sugarcane water. There is an ocean of ghee. There is an ocean of liquor and all these things. So this goes on. So we are focusing on the first island right now, which is called as Jambudvipa. This is our focus, right? Jambudvipa. All right. Can I clear this? I'll clear off this. Okay. Now Jambudvipa. Circular, and exactly in the center of Jambudvipa is the Meru Parvat. Yes, I will draw it a little small, otherwise I will not be able to explain other features. Yeah, And right now of the Meru Parvat, the central feature is being described. No, we make it curve anyways. So there are certain mountain ranges you'll be hearing. This is the Himalayan mountain range. It's somewhat similar. I'm not drawing it exact. There's one more layer over here. I'm sorry. Three. Three. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Total Varshas. Varsha is a tract of land which is surrounded by mountains on all sides. That's called Varsha. Right? And this is called Bharata Varsha, this particular Varsha. And this Bharat Varsha has 9 strips. Yes, 1, 2, 3, etc., 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And finally, there's a globe here which is called Bharat Khanda. This is what we refer to as Earth. That's a globe. It's like a ball feature. And this is where we are situated. How insignificant. So this is a lesson we learn from God's creation. And right now what is being discussed is the Ilavrata Varsha. This is being discussed. Right? So the Ilavrata Varsha has 4 mountain ranges. 1, 2, 3, 4. So we are going to be discussing about one of the mountain ranges which is situated towards the north. Suparshva. All right. So with this background, was it helpful? Okay, thank you. With this particular background, we will go ahead discussing today's shloka. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 16th, shloka number 22. Yastu mahakadambah suparshva nirudho yastasya kotarebhyo vinishrataha panchayama parinaha pancha madhu dharaha suparshva shikharat patantyo apraneha aprane aparenatmanam ilavratam anumodayanti. Translation, somebody.
Translation. Oh, go ahead, Mataji.
Please go ahead, Tiffany Mataji.
Okay, thank you. On the side of Suparshva Mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very celebrated. From the hollows of this tree flow 5 rivers of honey, each about 5 yamas wide. This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Suparshva Mountain and flows all around Ilavrata Varsha, beginning from the western side. Thus, the whole land is saturated with the pleasing fragrance.
Yes. Now, first of all, we want to know what the purpose of this Ilavrata Varsha. Who stays in Ilavrata Varsha? You have any idea? Yes. Anybody? Who stays in Ilavrata Varsha? So not all of us, that's for sure. We are in Bharat Varsh.
Is it Lord Shiva, Prabhuji?
Yes, you're right. It's Shiva and he's the only male member there.
Yeah.
We'll be hearing the pastime. And he's with his wife Parvati and he has many, many male servants there. It's forbidden for any of the male members to enter this territory. Any male member entering this territory will become a female. That's what happens to Suddhumna. We'll hear this in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam. Anybody entering this tract of land becomes a female, and even the horses, their gender also changed as soon as they enter this tract. This is the curse which was given by Shiva. What had happened was, when Shiva was with his wife Parvati and they were having their intimate time, that is when some group of sages came. And at that particular point of time, Parvati happened to be naked. And they saw Parvati, and Parvati was very, she was ashamed and she felt her dignity was gone. So she just went and appealed to her husband, and her husband said, "All right, to satisfy my wife, I'll spell a curse in this area that any male member entering into this tract of Ilavrata Varsha will become a female." So that is this Ilavrata Varsha. As far as speaking, with this one mountain tree, Suparsha, there is Mahakadamba tree. It's Mahakadamba tree. And there is a hollow. Every tree has a hollow. In fact, even in Mathura, there was a hollow of a tree in which Jiva Goswami was, he stayed for 1 year. Recently, we had the disappearance of Sripada, Srila Jiva Goswami. And that's when we hear that he was told to leave Vrindavan by Rupa Goswami, because he had wasted time arguing and debating with Rupa Narayan. So he had stayed in the hollow of a tree. So many trees have a hollow. And from the hollow of this tree emanates five rivers of honey. And each of these honey is five yamas wide. What is yama? How many of you used to follow boxing anytime? Boxing? Anybody? Heavyweight boxing, middleweight? None of you. I used to in the past. So that time there's a very particular terminology. How the boxers are introduced. What is introduced is their height, and second most important, their weight in the body mass, and third thing is called reach. What is introduced is reach, because your boxing is a sport which is played with the hands. So you spread out your hands. Yeah? You spread out your hands like this, left and right. And that particular distance from that middle finger of yours till this particular middle finger is called a reach. This is called your reach. And this reach in Sanskrit is called vyama. Vyama. So one vyama approximately for an average person is about 8 feet. Yeah. The vyama is about 8 feet for a person, average person. The reach is quite wide. We can reach. And like this, pancha vyama wide. Yes. So these rivers are Panchavyama. Panchavyama means 5 cross 8 feet. That makes it 40 feet. And there are 5 such rivers. So the entire river, yes, the entire river, 5 rivers, each of 40. So that becomes 200 feet. Yes, 200 feet of rivers almost. It is completely covering up the area of the Ilavrat Varsha. And this renders the entire Ilavrat Varsha very pleasing. It's a pleasing fragrance that emanates. So this is all created for Shiva. Yes, nobody else can be there, of course. Shiva has certain maid servants who are admitted there. So these are all called Upashesha Bhoga Swarga. Those of them who don't have sufficient karma to go to the Swarga, Swarga Loka, and they have some pious credits left. Yes, so they are allowed to enjoy in the other dvipas, like Hari Varsha, Ramanika Varsha, Ilavrata Varsha, and all other Varshas. Bharata Varsha is Karma Bhumi. That is a place where people create karma. But all other places are called as Upashesha Bhoga Karma. And the life of a person in Ilavrata Varsha is 10,000 years. They live for 10,000 years. And the time there, the feel of the place is as good as Treta Yuga. Satyuga is meant for penance, austerities. It's a spiritual age. Everybody is into spirituality. And the Treta Yuga is into enjoyment. Everybody is into enjoying. So that Treta Yuga exists in this entire tract of Ilavrata Varsha also. Yeah, so the all varieties of enjoyment are there. Even honey is something which flows incessantly. There's unlimited supply of honey and nobody's going to charge you for that. Yeah, that's very important. Go to the next loka. Now what happens as a result of drinking that honey? That's going to be explained in the next loka. Yahi upayunjananam muka nirvasito vayuhu samantach shatayojanam anuvasayanti. Translation.
The air carrying the scent.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Sorry. The air carrying the scent from the mouths of those who drink that honey perfumes the land for 100 yojanas around. Hare Krishna.
My Hare Bol. My Lord. Usually people have a lot of problem of bad breath. That's something people keep checking. Now, there are so many perfumes, invented perfume for spraying on their body and even breath. People do that, right? Bad breath. All bad breath problem is solved. You drink the honey once. And you find that almost, how many? 100 yojanas. One yojana is 8 miles. So 800 miles, this fragrance is going to make the entire atmosphere fragrant. Even we see this in case of enlightened persons, like Buddha. Buddha and all other enlightened persons, they had one feature. What is the feature? They would emanate light from their head. Yes. And that my light would go around for 10 yojanas, which means 10 yojanas where Buddha or enlightened persons, they stay. There is no night. There cannot be night. Not possible. So similarly, they also, this is another feature that we see, that the mouth becomes scented by drinking the honey. And for 100 yojanas around, yes, we find that it is very fragrant. So what do we understand from this? Why do we hear all these things? First of all, we heard the previous things to realize the insignificance of the opulence which we have. They should really humble us down. We people are, you know, even a beggar is proud of his penny, they say. Our kind of pride we have and the kind of arrogance we show after having some kind of achieved some, say, human beings have reached the pinnacle, the panacea of their material advancement. Oh, you are highly ignorant. We have still not gone to the Swarga, please. We are not yet in the heavenly planets. And each time you go higher and higher, you find the opulence growing much more. We are still on the earth. We are still in the Jambu Dvipa. Yes, right within our Jambu Dvipa, in the center of Ilavratvarsha, we find that there is so much of opulence. So each time we get attached to some kind of opulence here, we should meditate on what insignificant opulence this is compared to the others which the people are enjoying in the other varshas. So this should make us detached. This is nothing. Yes, people from Ilavrat Varsha would never want to come here. Say, what is this? There's nothing there. Is there, you do have a river of honey flowing? I said, oh, river of honey? We have river of water. Oh, that's below our dignity. That's below our standards. You're not coming. That's horrible. That's nonsense. So that is what we see. And even here, we're seeing that the people, they have such kind of opulences. So they should really make us feel very humble. Yes, we should be humbled, actually. That we don't have anything. We are proud of nothing. That's what we say. A pauper, even a pauper can be proud of his penny. That's our pride in achieving something very high. So we should focus on the real opulence, which is bhakti. That's why the Bhagavatam, again and again, it glorifies these places to understand that we really are, at the Bharatvarsha, we are not meant for enjoyment. Yes? The tract of land in the Bharatvarsha is not actually meant for enjoyment. It is meant for doing your business to go back to got it. Well, enjoyment, other places. The other places are meant for enjoyment, not Bharatvarsha. Yes, so we should focus on the real ultimate opulence, which is bhakti. And we should quit this world, understanding our real business. All right, we go to the next shloka. I've been given 3 shlokas. This is the last shloka that I've been given. This has a very good purpose to discuss.
एवं कुमुद निरुदो निरुढो यह शतवत् वसलो नाम वटस तस्य स्कंदेभ्यो निचीनाः पयोदति मधुघृत गुणान्नादि अंबर शय्यासनाभरणादयः सर्व एव कामदुघा नदाः कुमुदाग्रात् पतन्तस्तम् उत्तरेणावृतम् उपजोयन्ति.
Similarly, the Kudum mountain, there is a great banana tree which is called Satvalas because it has 100 main branches. From those branches come many roots from which many rivers are flowing. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Ilavratvarsha for the benefit of those who live there. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, clarified butter, ghee, mussels, food grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity and therefore they are very happy.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So though we heard about this on the Super Show, this Kumud mountain, the second mountain which is being described. is, Suparshva is the one of the mountains. The second mountain is called Kumud Mountain. So in Kumud Mountain, there is another tree. That particular tree which was there in Suparshva, that was producing honey, right? What does this particular mountain produce? So on top of each mountain, there is actually a tree. Yes, there's a particular tree. There's a mango tree. There's an apple tree. There's a banyan tree. Yes, so this kind of trees are there. We read about it. And there is Kadamba tree. So now on top of Kumud Mountain, there is banyan tree. This banyan tree is called Shata Vaisha. Shata means 100 and Vaisha means branches. So it is not that it only has 100 branches. No, it has 100 main branches. How many heads did Kaliya have? Anyone?
Unlimited.
He had 1,000. He had 1,000 heads, but even among those heads, he had some principal heads. How many? 101 principal heads and 1,000 other hoods, 1,000 headed hoods. In that 101 were main. Similarly, these branches has this particular branch of this banyan tree has many, many branches, but among them 100 are main. 100 means Shata, while Shai is branches. Because these branches actually make a difference. What is it that they do? So these branches, from these branches of banyan tree, we find the roots come out. That's what we hear, right? Banyan tree. Urdhva moolam adha shakam ashwatta prahuravyayam chandamsi asya paranani satvam veda savedavit. 15th chapter. So here is a tree where the roots are coming on from each branches. The roots are upwards. Yes, the roots are coming out. So similarly, from these roots, many, many river streams, they flow. They flow from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Ilavrat Varsha. What's the benefit? Now, these rivers are really important. I'll tell you something from Chanakya Niti, very interesting. The Chanakya Niti says that one should do things. I would like to give you two shlokas. Both are interesting. It says that you should not live even a single day in a place. Yes? You should not live even a single day in a place which doesn't have these things. First thing, there has to be a wealthy man in the place. These five things are mentioned. There has to be at least one wealthy man in the place. If there is no wealthy man in that place, that means there is no scope to become for economic development. So don't live there. So look for a wealthy man, number one. Number two, there has to be a Brahmana who is not just a namesake thread holder who has the sacred thread. No, he should be very well read and studied in Vedic scriptures. So that is the second thing you have to look. The third thing, the place should have a king, a leader. If there is no leader in a place, it's going to be a chaotic situation. Fourth thing, there has to be a physician because we fall sick. That's the nature of this material world. So you need a physician. And the last is the most important thing that you need to stay in any place is a river. So my God, by this particular calculation, many of us don't live. That's why if you see at least the Bharatvarsha civilizations, most of them, they were on the banks of river. Indraprastha, on Yamuna, Hastinapur, on Ganga. Those were rivers. Ayodhya, on Sharayu. So most of the civilizations, they were on rivers. Because without a river, you could not stay a single day. That's what he says. Because a river gives a lot of benefits. And one more. This is just for your knowledge. It's not connected to the subject. It says, don't inhabit a country where you don't receive these things. First of all, you're not respected in a country. Don't go there. Number two, where you cannot do economic development, you cannot make money, don't go there. Number three, you have no friends, don't go there. And if you don't have all this, at least if you cannot acquire knowledge, there are no schools, university, scope for increasing knowledge, don't go there. It's like this. Chanakya Niti is very important. In fact, Srila Prabhupada wanted all his Gurukula children to be thorough in Chanakya Niti. So he teaches us many things. And in that, river is very important. So the more there is river water in a particular place, that place is considered to be a very prosperous place. And practically this verse shows us how when there is a river in a particular place, it's so very prosperous. Because all people, just by the presence of a river, this particular rivers were giving people milk, yogurt, honey, yeah, these rivers killed it. It's because the rivers are giving these products. It is not that these rivers just had water. They used to give all varieties, milk, yogurt, honey, ghee. Clarified butter is called ghee, molasses, sugarcane, molasses, food, grains, clothes. Can you imagine rivers giving clothes? weddings, sitting places, ornaments, all of these things, actually, if you see, if you understand, our class is not to analyze this, but still, if you analyze from one perspective, you will find that these all things cannot be done properly without the presence of river. Because you cannot get all these things without a river. So because of this, people have all this opulence because of the river. And all the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity, and therefore they are all very happy. Happy. So even if you see from a perspective of Vedic life, a king had many responsibilities. So one of the responsibilities that a king had was Bhavaya. Bhavaya means to provide for the material facilities. Shemaya. Shemaya means to teach people how to get out of this world. Shemaya. There is also one. But Bhavaya also is one of the responsibilities. Providing material facilities. When we preach, our preaching based in Pune is based on creating student centers. And the first thing that we have been trained in is every student center should have a very nice place to study. It should have very wonderful prasadam facilities. The bathroom and the toilets have to be very good. So these facilities are provided. And then many of them would consider to come, stay, become members and practice Krishna consciousness. Yes, so all these facilities should never be neglected. And this was actually envisioned by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. When he saw in the British times, the British hostels, they were very, very opulent and very suitable for any student. Any student would like to come, stay and study. They created a very good ambience. So he also ordered that even similarly, we should have such student centers where there are very wonderful material facilities. If they are very nicely taken care of, people would be coming to spiritual life very nicely. Of course, these material facilities, people are enjoying their bhoga. Yes, the material facilities should be used in Krishna's service. But still, they are enjoying their good karma in this particular place and having so many wonderful facilities. Let's go to the purport. Open by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Alright, the prosperity of humanity does not depend on a demoniac civilization that has no culture and no knowledge, but has only gigantic skyscrapers and huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is directly attacking the material civilization of today. This is not prosperity. Yes. The real prosperity is what is mentioned in this particular shloka. So Prabhupada always used to ask, well, you are manufacturing nut and bolts, but can you eat nut and bolts? This is the question Prabhupada used to ask. You're making big factories, industrial revolution. Because previously, in the Vedic times, before the industrial revolution, people used to work only for 4 months. That's it. And 4 months and 4 hours of work. That's it. 4 months and 4 hours. So rest of the time, people would be doing Shravan and Kirtan. They had a lot of time for Krishna consciousness. Then came industrial revolution. Industrial revolution, people started working for 8 months and for 8 hours. And they used to be given free time also. Because in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur times, people used to go for 2 months of yatra, Rajmandal Parikrama, 60 days. My God. Now we can't even imagine for 6 days, we have to literally plead and beg to our bosses and authorities of the company, please, please. Some people have to kill their already existing relatives. In India, that's what people do. My uncle has passed away. I need to go for some time. But your uncle died 3 years back. Oh, that was another uncle. So we will have to bluff like this to get leaves for yatra. And then came the IT, information technology, which has taken all the time that people had. People work for 12 months for more than 12 hours. That's what has happened. So Srila Prabhupada said that this is not prosperity. Prosperity is a civilization that allows people to fulfill the purpose of human life. That is prosperity. Yes, your needs are simple and you get all your basic material needs and rest of the time you fully devote for Krishna consciousness. Right? So here there is demoniac civilization Prabhupada mentions because there is no culture. Culture of what? Culture of Krishna consciousness. No knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of body and soul. Yes? None of them know the concept of body and soul. Even in India, the theory of body and soul is very hodgepodge. People say, oh, there is a soul within us. This is a very ignorant statement. You are the soul. People have to be told because people think that we are the body and within the body there is a soul. Yes. Within the, we are the body, and within the body is the soul. That's why there is no knowledge. So what you are good at is big sky, tall skyscraper building. This is what Prabhupada observed when he first reached Boston and later on in Butler, Pennsylvania. The tall, tall buildings. Yes. My God. Huge automobiles. There's a class given by my spiritual master. He mentioned about when he had come to Pune. So he was mentioning there about how the industries came about. How the industry started. So people wanted to migrate to cities, number one. And they wanted to do urbanization. That means people stay in a very congested manner. In a congested manner. Clustered together. That's how you live in cities. Okay, we are staying in Pune. And we go to Mumbai. Yes, Mumbai is called the financial capital of India. On the way, there is so much of free space available. But nobody wants to live there. They want to live very jam-packed in the cities. And especially a man wants to live in the air. That is the experience the man wanted. Yes, live in the air. Which floor you're staying on? Oh, I stay on the 26th floor. Wow. People are so very happy. We constructed such a big building. Yeah, in a particular country, I don't want to name the country. There is a huge hotel which is constructed and they were very proud of it. And it was all on the foundation. It was actually built on in the ocean. They created an island. On top of that, you all understood what I'm talking about. And then they created any time anything could happen there. But still people want to go there. They want to go to the top and have the top view. People wanted to go up. They thought going up in terms of your height, that is prosperity. But now a person, even if he has to go up, he has basic needs of food. That is not going to get in city. So then they started transport industry. Yes, there has to be transport industry. And even after you eat food, the food is not going to evaporate within. Person has to clear care of the excrete out. So there was pipeline industry which was created. And the transport industry cannot function with just rusty lorries and trucks. So there was creation of paint industry. So one by one, like this, all industries started to merge. And they started polluting the air, the water, and even the land. That is what, there was a statement. Today, a man can fly in the sky like a bird. He can swim under the water like a submarine, like a fish with a submarine. But he cannot walk on the land like a human being because of pollution. This is what has happened. 600, there's a place, I don't want to name it. That place has become dumping ground of tires. It's become dumping ground of tires. And these tires are all dumped. They all dumped on a particular land. There are 600 billion tires which are there forming a mountain. People would say, which Govardhan is this? This is not Govardhan, Baba. It only looks like Govardhan from distance. There's nothing pious about it. This is the Govardhan created by materialists. They have simply polluted the place. And plastic is a thing that is non-biodegradable. Even the germs are very intelligent. The germs, the bacteria, they're all very smart. Even they don't eat the plastic. They don't. The plastic never ever degrades, but the plastic gets disintegrated and becomes pieces and pieces. I guess I had mentioned this in this particular forum some months back. So now there is plastic in the air that you breathe. There's plastic in the water that you drink. There's plastic in the food that you eat. Everywhere there's plastic. And congratulations on eating a credit card worth plastic every week. We all consume plastic worth one credit card every week. That is why Srila Prabhupada is saying that this is nonsense civilization. It is just creating nuisance for people. Of course, we are a part of it, very equally a part of it. But this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Prabhupada spoke the truth. He was not afraid of anyone. Next. The products of nature are sufficient. Very true. When there is profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, food grains, ghees, molasses, dhotis, saris, beddings, sitting places and ornaments, the residents are actually opulent. We have everything today except these things. And we think that we're opulent. Yes? How many of you start your day by drinking honey? Anyone? What's the guarantee the honey you're taking is actually honey? And it's not a bunch of chemicals. No guarantee. How many of you are drinking milk every day? We think you're drinking milk. We don't know what kind of paint or what kind of chemicals we're drinking. Yes? How many of you actually taken from the cow's udder milk taken, boiled, and you've tasted. How many of you? Yes, very good. You're all fortunate souls. You're all fortunate souls. Right? So the people don't even taste milk. It comes in the bottles. In India, it's in plastic bags. In America, it's in bottles, right? It comes in the bottles. And people think it's milk in the drink. So nothing what we are eating is actually natural. It's all GMO, genetically modified organisms. That's something we consume. Hare Krishna. The sugar that we eat contains phosphorus. So and my goal is not to create a horror movie show here, but I'm presenting you facts. I'm just elaborating on Srila Prabhupada's purpose, which I'm supposed to do as a servant of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So please, some of you give me those looks. Prabhu, today we're going to make us fast for the rest of eternity. No, no, it's not like that. We're just telling how much we're missing on. We're missing on. Yeah? So there is everything there. But residents are not opulent. We are living in artificial, with artificial standards of opulence. Yes. The buildings that we are constructing, they are going to break in just about some time. Vedic times, the construction was made in such a way, with particular stones, etc., that it would except fire, all other nature elements would actually enhance the duration of the particular construction. But now the Pancha Mahabhutas, they weaken your homes. That's what happens. Our homes are all weak. The civilization is on very a weak foundation. So there is no opulence. Next. When a profuse supply of water from the rivers inundates the land, all these things can be produced and there won't be scarcity. But the rivers are entirely polluted. And if you know Yamuna, right? Yamuna. Yamuna is the sister of Yama. So when you associate it with Yamaraj's sister, Yamuna, you don't have to associate it with Yama. That's the river Yamuna. She's the daughter of sun god and is the river that floods Vrindavan. And we could see that how the rivers had been polluted by the industrial waste which came out from the New Delhi industries. Completely, it was nothing but sewage water, not Yamuna. They destroyed the river. But in this particular pandemic, when everything was stopped, the river has a procedure to cleanse itself and throw out all the waste, and Yamuna had become crystal clear in the pandemic time. Yes, you don't disturb nature. You play with nature, you manipulate nature, you disturb the nature. We are spoiling our own mental, physical and spiritual health. Yes, we just manipulating things. Yamuna was so clear. The only thing is man manipulating matter. This is the problem. Everything that is God made is perfect. And everything that is man made is imperfect. Because we have imperfect senses, we have tendency to be illusion, we make mistakes and we have cheating propensity. The four defects that we have. We spoil it. Why is man made? Man is made to spoil God's creation. That's what. I have a video. Just wondering if I can show it to you. Can I? I need permission. Just take 2 minutes. Let's just check. Yeah, I'll give it to you. It's a funny video, but it's reality. It makes very good sense to watch it. Just give me a minute, half a minute. Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Is it on YouTube? Then they may have to pause the recording. Vinita Mukherjee?
Oh, okay, yes. You may have to pause it. Good, thank you. Yeah. Very good presence of mind. Yeah, we can pause it for just that time when I show you the video, then again we can resume it. They've shown it in cartoon format, but this is the harsh reality of where we're living. Hare Krishna. Sorry if it really scared you, but this is a fact. On the other hand, our civilization depends on Yajna. That's what Lord Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter, that human beings cannot live without yajna. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya anna sambhavah yajna bhavati parjanyo yajnyah karma samudbhavah. All living beings subsist on food grains and which are produced from rains, and the rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born out of prescribed duties. This is Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter 14th sloka. So we understand and realize that we are failing in our yajna. yes. In fact, whatever little bit of opulence, piety, natural resources is left, yes, whatever little rains that come today. Ideally, in Kali Yuga, all the rains are supposed to be going to the ocean. And that's it. You cannot drink water everywhere, not a drop to drink. That's what happens with the ocean water. It's ideally supposed to be that way. But it is because of some yajna that is being done by devotees in the form of the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It is for this reason that there are some rains still there. Because devotees are doing this. So it's very important for all of us to make our civilization cultured and full of knowledge by preaching this message of Krishna consciousness. It's very, very important. If people follow these principles in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous. And then they will be happy both in this life and in the next. This is shloka that comes in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 23rd verse. It says, Yas Shastra Vridim Utsrijya Vartate Kama Karatah Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti Na Sukham Na Param Gatim. The entire Shastras, they speak about two things. Happiness in this life and next life, we are in the spiritual world with Krishna, serving Krishna. That's how to make this happen. This is what the Shastras speak about. And that will happen when you follow the principles of Shastra. On the other hand, you reject your Shastra Vidhi. Shastra Vidhi means the scriptural statements. Utsrijya, you give it up. Then what happens? Vartate kama karata. A person is driven by one's own whimsical lust. That's what is the problem in the society today. That nobody is bothered about what the Shastras are speaking. Yes, everybody is into their own imagination. Yes, experimentation and production. That's what happens. And if you do that, nasa siddhim avapnoti, that is not prosperity. That's not siddhi. In fact, you will end up in bafflement, in frustration, in pain. That's what is happening to today's people. Despite the pinnacle of material advancement, are people happy? Simple question. Are we happy? You ask anybody, are you happy? No, nobody is happy. We have plastic smiling faces and crying hearts. That is the situation of today's world. Nobody is happy. Everybody is just faking happiness. Oh, good morning. What good morning? A morning without beginning, without involving Krishna in your life is not good morning. Good night. Night is only good if you are going to serve Krishna the next day. You are resting for the purpose of serving Krishna. Good evening. Yes, that is good. Why did you going for a preaching program? Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon is good if you're going to take prasad. If you're going to take something else, it is sins that we're eating. So we understand and realize this, that there is nothing good in this material world without Krishna consciousness. That is why this Krishna consciousness is the supreme welfare for the entire human society. This is what, you remember the Bhagavatam first canto? Excuse me. The sages ask for six questions. There are six questions that the sages ask. And one of the questions is, what is the ultimate benefit, ultimate good for the entire humanity? And what is the answer given? The ultimate good for the entire humanity is Krishna consciousness. That is the ultimate good. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayashi Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chitat Ahetukam. You simply have to do bhakti to Vasudeva and you get two things. You get the necessary detachment and you get the necessary knowledge to function in this world and to quit this world. It all happens very naturally when you are performing bhakti to Vasudeva. Alright. Om Tat Sat. If there are any questions, we can take for the next 10 minutes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanu Pranam.
Dhanu Prabhu.
What an amazing class, Prabhu, again. Thank you so much. The classes are always awaited.
I was not sure if I can give the class or not also.
So beautiful class. Particularly, you know, you touch so many things in a short period, Chanakya Niti, and we learn so many things. How many heads Kalia had, honestly, I didn't knew that 101 was the main. And so you know, these things remain after your class in the mind. So that's beautiful. Yamuna. So yeah, no yam when there is Yamuna. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Beautiful, beautiful class. Dear devotees, if somebody has any questions or any realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I just need that cartoon. Can you somehow make it available to us?
I'll serve you that way by giving the link.
All right.
The link is in the chat. I put it for everyone.
Thank you so much. That was so great. So great. It's going to go viral just by me alone.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
I just have one question. That video, feel very sad though to see the real situation. So in future, is there in future, is that situation is going to revise anytime?
Well, Lord Krishna tells us not to be much bothered about this world, because this world, matra sparshastu kaunteya shita ushna sukha dukkada agama apayino anitya. It's a temporary world where things come, they stay for some time and they go away. It's all temporary. So don't be much bothered about the temporary changes and the temporary phenomena. We should focus on that which is the param satya. So, to be very frank, we have to leave this world. That's the ultimate reality that Shastras teach us. Don't be attached to this world. We cannot change the fact that this world is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. We can't change that. It's a fact. So best is to go to that particular Parama Sukhalayam, which is the spiritual world. All right.
Okay. So
Thank
we have
you.
To live along with that.
Yes, humbly. There has to be some impetus for you to go out, right? Of this world. Imagine this world is so nice and there's a very rosy picture of this world. Then will those people get detachment, the sufficient impetus to practice spiritual life? They'll say, no, the world is an amazing place. Why not live here eternally? Yes. Rajiv Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, this question is a stupid question, silly question. But the fact is, when the Parinam, he has only 7 days. And he knows that 7 days he's going to die. So time is very, very precious and valuable. During those days, he is hearing the planet is like this. It has so much of distance. It has so much of width, right? Braspati did this and the moon this did, you know, all these kind of things. What kind of mood he had which helped him to go to the Goloka or go back to the Godhead?
I get your question, Prabhu. Thank you. Because when the death is overhead, these things seem material. Now, come on, now don't waste your time. Just think about Krishna and go back. But we need to understand that this aspect of creation of this universe and the universal structure, it adds to the greatness of the Lord. How great is the Lord? Unless we don't rever the person, yes, we don't have sufficient value for the greatness of a person, we will not be able to become devotees of Krishna. First greatness, then sweetness. First, we have to understand about the Purusha avatars and what they have created. So the creation actually is the glory of the person. Now, you don't appreciate a painting irrespective of the painter, right? You go, wow, what a painting. You don't go and tell the painting, oh, wow, what a painting you are. No, we go and glorify the person who has made the painting. Similarly, when the kirtan is done with the harmonium and mic, you don't go and glorify harmonium. Come on, you sounded really great. And mic, microphone, you are fab. You're really good. It's so fabulous, man. So we don't glorify the instrument. We glorify what? We glorify the person who has done the kirtan. Similarly, this entire creation the whole creation is actually adding to the greatness of Krishna. That's one. Second thing, why this section happened? Because we need to understand that a Bhagavatam has to be complete. It's a complete Mahapurana. Mahapurana means the Mahapurana. Are you all able to hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Thanks.
Okay, Rajiv Prabhu, I would suggest, if possible, you can turn off your video so that you'll be able to hear me clearly. It's a suggestion. Yeah. From where should I resume?
Bhagavad is a Mahapurana.
Yeah, it is better now. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Bhagavad is a Mahapurana. So, a Mahapurana has to have 10 topics fully. And in order to get the complete glory to Bhagavatam, to be accepted. This particular feature is also added. This comes under sthana. Yes. Sarga, visarga, sthana, poshana, utaya, manmantra, vishanukata, nirodha, mukti, rashaya, the 10 subject matters in any Mahapuram. So sthana is the position of this universe, the planetary systems. This is a very essential topic to make a literature Mahapuran. That's another reason that this discussion happened. And the third reason for this discussion happening is Parikshit Maharaj actually wanted, because in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami had told Parikshit to meditate on the universal form. Well, if somebody wants to know, Bhagavatam must be complete, right? So that's a very incomplete instruction. You cannot tell a person to meditate on the universal form without actually telling about the universe. Correct? So to complete that particular statement, in the fifth canto, this is reiterated. Suppose somebody wishes to meditate on the impersonal form of God, which is the universe, the Virat Purusha. How exactly one is supposed to visualize without knowing its features? Right? So that, these are some of the reasons that come to my mind. They may be unlimited reasons. Okay.
Got it, Prabhu. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Rajiv Prabhu. I think it was a very important question and very beautiful answer, Prabhu. Yes. Until unless we don't know about the creator and his creation, it's difficult to appreciate him too. So yeah, very beautiful answer. Thank you, Prabhu.
Time for one last question or a comment if it's there.
Prabhuji, I have something to ask. And at the very end, you quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Detachment will come and what was
Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.7.
1.2.7. Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chatata Haitukam. Just a verse.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Dear devotees, if somebody has any questions, last minute call.
Yes, probably the class was not good enough.
Oh, your class is amazing, Prabhu. Not good. It's amazing. More than good.
Okay.
Prabhu, just think, probably don't have time for this. So just if you could let us know where we can find the 10 things that is required for
making a Mahapuran.
Srimad
Bhagavatam, second canto, 10th chapter, first sloka. The subject matter is 2.10.1.
And that's for a Mahapurana, but exactly. not ordinary Puranas.
Ordinary Purana may have some of the subjects, may not be all.
So aside from Bhagavatam, is there any other Mahapurana in existence?
Paramapurana is a Mahapurana. Yes, it has two versions. There is Narada Purana is a Mahapurana. There is Brihad Naradi and Narati Purana. So Narada Purana is a Mahapurana. Brihad Naradi Purana is Upa Purana. There are 18 Mahapuranas, 18 Puranas, of which Padma Purana is considered to be Mahapurana. It contains all the 10 topics. I have heard Narada Purana also contains the 10 topics, as per my knowledge.
You said Narada Purana?
Yes, Naradiya Purana. Naradiya Purana is the presentation of the history by Narada Muni. It's called Naradiya.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Prabhu, as you also mentioned in, as you also mentioned that Prabhupada appreciated the Chanakya Niti too. So is as ISKCON, are we doing something to incorporate a Chanakya books or something like his quotes inside, Prabhu?
Well, there are Niti Shastra because there are 5 types of Shastras. There's Artha Shastra, Niti Shastra, Dharma Shastra, Atma Shastra and Bhakti Shastras. So you will be able to appreciate the higher realm of the Shastras when you at least know what is there. You have a bird's eye view of what is there in Niti, because it's a Niti Shastra which helps you how to deal in this world. It's a Niti Shastra that helps you a lot in management also. We get a lot of management tips in order to serve in this ISKCON organization. That is why Srila Prabhupada did mention that the Gurukula children should be knowing the Chanakya Niti shlokas. So it's available. The books are available by ISKCON devotees. Even in some libraries, maybe available. So by somebody who is giving the presentation by a devotee is better. It's better to hear that rather than the non-devotional version. Because Jiva Goswami had a speciality. I was just reading about Jiva Goswami Path. His speciality was he could even connect a mundane topic. Anybody reading about grammar, about Nyaya, which is logic, and all other mundane subject matters from Jiva Goswami's books, they also used to become devotees. Although the subject matter was mundane, although the intent was mundane,
but they would end up becoming devotees because you present it. That's the power of Vaishnavas, right? Even if you present a mundane subject, in one sense, neti is, it's a mundane topic, but still, but it's a very practical thing that we should know if you are going to be in this world. Yes. So it's appreciated.
Right, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Lalitangi Mataji has a beautiful comment for you. She's thanking you. Yes.
Double for video session.
Double.
Okay.
Find something double in you. Double, no. Prabhu. Double power.
Yes, we are all the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Showed us the pain double. It's double handsome. Thank you. Thank you so much for your very honest comment.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very beautiful class, and we will look forward for your session again, Prabhu, in the future.
My pleasure.
Let's pray our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalaputaru
krishna
cha deva cha
patitana
srimad bhagavatam ki
jai
ji
ki jai
shri sanatan dharam
prabhu ji ki jai
thank you prabhu ji.